I can't be without socks. I can't wear a sweatsuit.
When you said she admitted to the murder, was that there at the scene when she was saying, I killed my
baby? They had essentially one person who complained.
If we really want competition between insurance companies...
Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s? Yeah. We bought Alaska for the resources.
What girl wants to give oral sex when a man is in shape?
That's a very essential. Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s? And what girl won? You know, 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And like that, truth is our bitch, the only news talk and entertainment show no one's talking about. All right, get that out of the way. And we do know what we're talking about. We do know what we're talking about. You may not like what we're saying. You may think that we're talking out of our, you know, ass. Thank you, bud. If I wanted to say the word, I would have said the word.
You're trying to mess everything up? That was what he... Wasn't that the word you was looking for?
I'm not looking for it. If I want to say it, I'll say it. Anyway, welcome back to the program. 877-876-PHIL. Watch us on live streaming video, if you'll pardon the expression, stream. And we're at philhendryshow.com, and you can listen to the live streaming video. And we've been getting into a lot of different conversations here this evening having to do with, you know, whether you're being told the truth. Forget about whether Obama's telling you the truth, man. Is freaking Bill O'Reilly telling you the truth? Is Keith Oberfuhrer telling you the truth? Is Rachel Butch Maddow telling you the truth? Is Chris Punkface Matthews telling you the truth? The answer? No. Rachel, you're not telling the truth, right?
Yay!
All right. They're just trying to hold on to their job, and you can't blame them, can you? So when Beck says... Obama's a racist. He wouldn't know a racist from Little Black Sambo. He's just trying to make it through another day, man, without having a man call him into the office and say, Glenn, it's been fantastic, but you know what? I think we're going to move Greta into your slot because she's heating up, and you, even though you're better looking than her. I'm kidding, Greta. You're a very, very attractive girl. You are. But you know that you're... Your days are numbered there because I heard Megyn Kelly has been stabbing you in the back over there. All right, our number, again, 877-876-PHIL. Now, here is a story that we've been mentioning, we've been teasing, and we've been coddling, and we've been just pushing it around, and now we're going to actually do it. Conservative kiosk owner denied new lease at North Carolina Mall. The owner of a kiosk that sells conservative merchandise in a North Carolina mall won't get to continue pushing impeach Obama bumper stickers after his lease expires on Friday. The Concordia Mills Mall decided not to renew its contract with Lauren Spivak, who fought to stay in business in the shopping center. Spivak says his kiosk, Free Market Warrior, is being nudged out for purely political reasons. Now, understand, folks, we're talking about a mall, a privately owned mall, that leases space to people who want to have customers come into their mall to buy things. Now, when we talk about free speech, naturally, we talk about a right guaranteed in the Constitution of the United States of this here America. But we also recognize through precedent that all of the rights articulated there in the Bill of Rights have their limits depending upon the situation, the where, the what, the if, and the why. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. We don't sell guns to four-year-olds, and so on and so forth. And when I have a mall and I want people to come into my mall and buy stuff, I want it to be a comfortable and relaxing environment for them so they'll buy as much stuff as they possibly can and make me rich. Anybody that messes with that, anyone, in my opinion, that impedes the commerce of my business, well, then I'm just going to have to tell them thank you very much, but you know what? You're like a bad fart in this joint, man. You are stinking this place up.
What do you mean? I have the free speech.
You go ahead and do your free speech someplace else, Jack. I'm trying to get paying customers in the seats around here. Now, this guy Spivak was interviewed, and we're going to hear him on Fox News, as a matter of fact. And he was explaining the content of some of his merchandise that offended one person. And I know how that goes, Mr. Spivak. I really do. I know what it's like to have one jackass, just one, you know, call a radio station or call the FCC and say, did you know that Hendry said this? And the guy may be lying through his teeth, and 90% of the time they are, or they're misrepresenting. Lenny Bruce, who was the great comic, once said, you know, me doing my act, that's one thing. But when I have somebody sitting in a witness stand in a civil action or a criminal case repeating my act to a jury, that's not my act anymore. That's just some guy sitting in a witness stand repeating it to a jury. It may not be funny, he may not be very well timed, he may be missing the entire point, so it isn't necessarily Lenny Bruce anymore, you know? Well, the same thing holds true with anything in life. You say something, five other people repeat it, suddenly it ain't the thing that you said. So I understand what it is to be misunderstood, okay? Nonetheless, nobody opens up a mall so they can have free market warrior talking about Obama needing to be impeached. And even if it was just one guy, if I own that mall, I don't care who you are or what you think you're doing for a living. If you're screwing with my ability to lease out space, Jim, I don't need it, right? Even if it hasn't happened yet. All right, so anyway, Mr. Spivak, after meeting with officials from the Concord, North Carolina Mall on Tuesday afternoon, the two sides could not reach an agreement to keep the 8-foot-long kiosk where it was. According to a statement from the mall, Mr. Spivak has not agreed to remove the objectionable merchandise and will be moving out of Concord Mills at the end of his lease. All right, so now we have this guy Spivak, who is the kiosk owner on Fox News. Mr. Spivak, owner of the Free Market Warrior, explains the content of some of his merchandise offended one person, he says.
They had essentially one person who complained and was not willing to be in the same mall with material that she disagrees with. I was told was offensive by the mall initially was my parents chose life as a baby bib. I was told was offensive. I was told impeach Obama was offensive. Initially, the impeach Obama was a joke. We released it the day after the election, so
right.
They could have it on their car.
Right, right, okay.
All right, yeah, okay, we understand that. You understand that, right? You know, so I'll give you another example. If I walked into a mall and I saw impeach George Bush, I'd say something to the guy in the mall. What is this, man? Just the same way as I'd say something to somebody if it said impeach Obama. Just so you know where I'm coming from, right? Well, do you agree with Obama and Bush, Phil? It's not the point, man. That's not the point at all. As a matter of fact, I do. But the fact is, and I know that that sounds impossible, but yes, I do. And I saw that a lot, man, during the Bush years. I saw all kinds of impeach Bush this, impeach Bush that. I saw people asking for it, man. You know, like Vernon Dozier likes to say?
Yeah, he's always saying, boy, that guy was asking for it.
Well, I saw guys driving down the road with bumper stickers, impeach George Bush, he's a war criminal, you know, with the FU. And, man, it's like I wanted to get out of the car and take a chisel to their, you know, their little Mercedes logo. I wanted to black out their car. And then I wanted to black out the driver.
What do you mean? You want to paint him black?
Will you shut up?
Oh.
So, but in a mall, I'm walking into a mall, I'm going to buy a pair of shoes, and there's a guy sitting there with a kiosk that says, impeach George Bush, right? George Bush is a war criminal, right? And I ain't going to say nothing? I'm going to say something. Now, when he says one guy complained, I got news for you. The mall didn't give a crap whether it was one guy or not. The mall didn't even know the guy had those signs out there. It ain't one person. Whoever owns this mall had no idea what was going on. As soon as it was brought to his attention, he said, you know what? That sucks. Get his ass out of here. Goodbye. And so it becomes a cause celeb, and all it is a guy trying to do business. And you jackasses at Fox who believe in free enterprise, you believe a man has a right to make a living, you think some other guy's going to come in and cut a sulfuric bean and broccoli fart and expect people to still walk into your mall and buy your stuff? Don't you guys get it? Do you understand? And so in order for you simple-minded bastards to understand this, I would suggest that you just go ahead and replace impeach Obama with impeach George Bush. Now do you get it? All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, we got Dr. Ron Tarner talking about a New York high school that is conducting pregnancy and, STD tests. And more of your phone calls at 877-876-PHIL. And don't forget the video of the show every night at philhendryshow.com. And like that, we'll be right back.
Yay!
The Phil Hendry Show.
Why did we buy Alaska in the...
the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night until whenever the hell, 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, our only news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. So in other words, what I'm trying to say about that North Carolina kiosk guy with his impeach Obama sticker, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's getting his rocks off there with his little kiosk. He thinks he's making his statement, and he doesn't understand that he's leasing space from a commercial enterprise that's trying to keep customers coming through the door. We're in the middle of a recession, okay, Charlie? Do you get it?
Well, I have free speech rights.
No, you don't have any free speech rights in my store. No, you don't have any free speech rights. Okay, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Mark in Boston. Mark, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on?
Hey, Phil. What's going on?
That's what I asked you.
I'm hearing all these remarks.
I'm telling you what's going on. What's going on with you?
Hey, man, I'm from Central Cambridge, man, and it doesn't take much
great.
To go to jail down here with the police, man. They're so high sprung on blacks, it's ridiculous. If you just ask them a simple question, man, and you're going to jail. Believe me, it's been done to me. Why you pull me over? Is there a reason why you stopped me? Anything like that? If you even have too much opinionated questions to them, you go to jail in Cambridge. I don't know if it's because of the college or what. But I'm a resident down here. I'm just letting you know how it goes because I'm hearing all these responses. Like, I don't know if people don't understand what we go through down here.
Well, I mean, you must be doing something to provoke them. You know, you must
no,
be.
No, I'm.
Are you dark? Is your skin really dark, or is it?
No, I'm actually brown skin. I'm not really dark.
You're light enough. All right. Well, I don't know what's going on there.
If you even ask them, like, you know, hey, is there a reason why you pull me over here? Is there a reason why you stopped me? And it's like you're being a wise ass now.
Well, isn't that a little insolent?
How it is down here.
You don't think that that's being insolent to the officer? How dare you ask a question like that?
No, I mean, if
I'm kidding or I'm joking with you. I'm joking with you, man. So in other words, you're telling me is the cops in Cambridge already have an attitude. This is the first time I've heard this. You're telling me that the police. And if were I to investigate the number of complaints made by citizens against Cambridge police based upon harassment. Or under the color of authority, harassment because of someone's color, I would find quite a few citizen complaints lodged against the Cambridge police?
I don't see why not.
Well, because we can check that.
I don't see why not.
And if I find that there's a preponderance, and if your name is on most of them, then I'll know you're just screwing around, see? But all right, I understand what you're saying, and I don't doubt, and as I said to the other caller, I said, look, like I said to that lady, if there is an experience there and there's an expectation there, I'm sure you understand why people react a certain way. However, having said that, I think that Professor Gates could have given that officer, once he got pissed off and once he kind of calmed down, both guys could have said, you know what, I'm sorry, you know, I overreacted, and the cop could have said, I'm sorry, and we could have had a much... But whatever happened to people being reasonable, for God's sake, you know, and saying, well, this whole thing got blown out of proportion... And it doesn't have to go this far. Whatever happened to as I said, being gentlemen about this, you know? That's my only point. Now, Mark, as far as you're concerned, just understand that if I see you out there driving around and you're black, that's good enough for me. You're going to jail. No. It's good to talk to you, man. I appreciate it very much. So there's Mark with...
Yeah, that's full of crap.
Yeah, what do you mean he's full of crap? You don't know. I want you to look that up.
What?
Find out how many complaints have been filed against the Cambridge police. And if in point of fact there is a preponderance of citizen complaints against the Cambridge police, then we have ourselves a story, don't we? All right, here is John in Houston, Texas. John, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, hey Phil.
Hi.
Me and my wife, we listen to you every single night, you know.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
We kind of heard you talking about Glenn Beck, you know, and we've listened to Glenn Beck for a very long time now. And, you know, number one, I have to say he is not racist. Okay.
Who, Glenn? No, I'm not saying Glenn's a racist.
Okay.
Oh, no. I would never. I'd say that.
That's my misunderstanding. I'm sorry about that.
No, Glenn said that Obama was a racist.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I have no doubt in that. I didn't vote for Obama this year, you know, when he got elected.
But let me ask you a question. Why do you think Obama's a racist?
I think because he's Muslim. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I don't have anything.
You're kidding, right? You know that I got to ask you if you're kidding, right? You
no,
know
I'm
I have
kidding.
To ask that. You're are you Josh and Phil?
No, I'm not. I really believe that, you know, I have this, you know, this whole doomsday theory, and he's part of it. You know what I'm saying?
You think Obama sits on the floor and eats with that flat bread? You think he's doing is he bowing five times to the whatever the hell they got over there? You think he's doing that? Seriously?
I mean, I don't think he's, you know, fulfilling his total commitment to his religion, but
to the Muslim ethic, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think he makes Michelle walk around in a bag? Are you telling me that?
Well, you know, there's a question mark there, you know.
See, here's the thing. Here's what I wanted to say to you, man. I'm just fooling around with you, as you know, John. I mean, but if you really believe Obama's a Muslim, I propose to you the following. I believe you're an intelligent man, but I also believe that you have a lot of other things you got to do, feed your family, go to work, and you rely upon certain people to give you the truth.
Course,
if you rely on Glenn,
on other sources too.
If you rely on Glenn Beck, you're making a big mistake.
Now
when you say that Obama is a Muslim, I have to say to you, you haven't investigated this question at all. You're taking this on faith. It might have been something that you know, Hannity said. It might have been something somebody said, and you haven't investigated this. Right. I'm telling you right now that he is not a Muslim. I don't know how many different ways I could put it to you. He's got a funny sounding name, but then I heard what do you think of Engelbert Humperdinck? That guy sold millions of records. I wouldn't call that name exactly normal, you know.
Yep.
Barack Obama is not a Muslim.
Well, I mean,
if
he's not a Muslim, then some of his views and some of his points really just don't make sense because
What are his views that would make you believe that he's a Muslim? What views does he have that make you believe he's a Muslim?
Well, I mean, he's trying to get us to come to one world government. Now, I believe this.
Where the hell are you getting that from? Where are you getting that from? I'm telling you right now, you're making the mistake of taking these guys on TV and radio seriously. You're listening to Glenn, you're listening to the rest of these jackasses, and you're saying, boy, that makes sense. Do you understand that when Glenn Beck, before he goes on the air on his radio or TV show, all he wants to do is get an audience. He doesn't care what he says. He doesn't care how he says it. He'll go out there with his fly open if it means it's going to get an audience. He's messing with you, man. And so is Oberman, and so is Matthews, and so is O'Reilly, and so is Matt. They're screwing with your head. They are treating you as if you're stupid.
Well, you know,
you need to know this. You need to understand this, and you need to investigate these things a little more fully. To say that Obama wants one world government, or that he's a Marxist, or that he's a Muslim, you haven't looked into it, man.
Well,
if you pardon the expression, look into it.
Pointing all this out to me. That's
all right.
Sure.
Notice I didn't say that you're stupid. I didn't say you're stupid. You're a busy man. You need to take more responsibility for the information that you're gleaning. That's all I'm saying. Thank you very much, John, for your call. He's a good guy. And everybody is, you know, look at, I know that you guys don't do what I do. My life is information. Every day I'm reading and I'm absorbing, and that's all I do. So when I come on the air and I say this, that, and some people say, what the hell is he talking about? I don't blame you for not knowing because you're out doing other things, right? So don't take my word for it, other than you can take my word for this. I ain't going to sit here and yank your chain and waste your time because I need to pull an audience. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to tell you what's up. And if I don't get anybody listening to the show, quite frankly, I'm independently wealthy, so what do I care?
Really?
Yes, really. If you're going to sit there and look at some dumbass with a crew cut and you know, sneakers and a suit coat tell you about Obama's a racist and whatever the hell it is that he's frothing at the mouth about today, and you think he means it, people, you're getting your chain yanked so hard the whole thing's going to fall off. Coming up, we got a New York high school conducting pregnancy and STD tests. The world according to Dr. Ron Tarner on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Go.
world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-877-6-PHIL. 877-877-6-PHIL. And welcome back to our show. I recognized during the last segment that our video feed, the video cast that we're doing, we didn't have any audio in the last segment. And I apologize to people who were watching the video that we hadn't moved our cable in time so that, you know. I don't know where I am right now, but I know that we're going to do, we got Dr. Ron Tarner coming up. And really what he's going to be talking about is a high school that is going to be testing the students giving tests to students for STDs in pregnancy. And apparently they don't need the approval of the parents. Whether or not I've actually got this story here, here it is. A Portchester High School, Portchester High School in New York, gets ready for the new school year. Officials have signed off on a new service that will offer free testing for sexually transmitted diseases and even pregnancy testing to any students who asks, or to any student who asks. Like any other high school, we have teen pregnancy, so when a young lady comes down, we can offer a test and guide her and refer them from that point, said Superintendent Donald K. Carlisle. Carlisle said it's simply an extension of the comprehensive health services already provided to students. Students requesting the test will be able to receive them without needing parental permission. Okay. Here is a couple of pieces of audio we have for you. CBS's Mary Calvey files this report, and she offers some details on this high school teen pregnancy thing, which is all the discussion.
Students requesting the test will be able to receive them without needing parental permission. Parents would also not be advised of test results. Dr. Deborah Gerson, a physician with Open Door, the group that runs the program, says that kind of confidentiality is essential.
There are times when they don't feel safe and they really need to have a place where they can come and disclose.
All right, and furthermore, two parents weigh in on the testing. Where is this? All right, here are two parents weighing in on this STD testing.
Some of them are embarrassed, and, you know, they could come to a counselor in school, a nurse that they trust. I think it's a good thing.
I would like in the future, if that's going to be the case on my children, to count on me. I would like to be, you know, my opinion to be counted on.
All right, here is Ron Tarner, Dr. Ron Tarner from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Colorado. Ron, how are you doing?
Well, Phil, I'm doing well, and I want to thank you very much for doing this topic. I think it's important, and I know there are a lot of people who are going to be educated further and making the right decision, I think, for young people, because we've got a lot of teen pregnancy, and we have certainly a STD transmission going on at the high school level every bit as much as we do with adults, if not more so.
But the idea of this testing going on without parental consent, what do you think of that?
I think it's necessary because, first of all, I think you can get over that problem if you tell the parent that it is for the good of the students and that it's a more of an exercise, I guess, in youth. And gaining information. You know, information can be fun, Phil. I've always felt, as an educator and as a scientist, that we don't make education fun. And the concept that a young student is tested for STD without parental consent can be mitigated, can be made more palatable to the parent if you give it a feel that this is a fun exercise for the student. They're learning something about themselves.
Hold on for just a second, Ron. They're learning something about themselves. It sounds different from, for instance, they're learning something about themselves that they can vote, or they're learning something about themselves that someday they'll be citizens. They're learning something about themselves, whether they got an STD or whether they're pregnant.
Well, but technically that is learning something about yourself. I know that the work that I've done with high schools, and we do a lot of clinics and we do seminars, they'll say, let's learn something about ourselves. Are you infected? You could say, let's learn something about ourselves. What is my IQ, for instance, right?
Okay.
Or you can say, let's learn something about ourselves. Are you infected with a disease that is bloodborne and could eventually migrate to the brain and cause early insanity or dementia? Let's learn something about ourselves.
Yeah, but do you understand what I'm saying? Let's learn something about ourselves from the standpoint, what's my IQ? Let's learn something about myself. What is my heritage? Why do I have blue eyes?
Yeah, that's all very valid.
But you're saying it's equally valid. Let's learn something about ourselves. Do I have a blood-borne disease that could migrate to my brain and cause early dementia?
Well, you are repeating it in an incredulous tone, Phil.
Well, I am a little bit incredulous. That you're first of all, this doesn't address the question, why aren't the parents being informed?
Well, the parents are being informed. They're being told that the student, when they request the test for either gonorrhea or syphilis or HIV, which possibly could be full-blown AIDS by the time they get to to the school clinic to have the test, or whether she is pregnant, or the kids will call it, if she's got one in the oven or however. We have to communicate this in ways that children are going to understand.
But one in the oven, that's, to me, as a parent, I'd be offended.
But you're being informed. You're being informed. And I think that's the number one problem. Of course parents are being informed. They're being informed that if your daughter comes in to find out if she's pregnant or not, we're going to tell her. So they're already being informed.
No. It's not about being informed. It's about giving consent.
Well, I thought you said being informed.
What I mean is they don't have to give their consent.
Well, they don't have to give their consent, but they are being informed. Spread out was initiated by the high schools of America so that teens could find out if they had a more about themselves and about what makes them unique and about what makes them American citizens and how they could further the greatness of this country. And that's what Spread Early is about. And Spread Out was...
No, hold on for a minute. What is Spread Early?
That is the name that we give it when we talk to the students. Because when you come in for the test, obviously you have to use the phrase, you have to spread or you have to open your legs. So,
and you're calling it Spread Early. Why?
Because we want to communicate with the students and we want them to learn more about themselves and why and what makes them American citizens.
Wait. See, Ron, and I hate to keep interrupting you.
Well, you're doing a good job. You haven't let me get one sentence in.
No, Ron, hold on. They're going to learn more about themselves and they're going to learn about being an American citizen.
Yes.
By finding out if they have an STD or they're pregnant.
Yes, and Spread Early and Spread Out.
What is it, Spread Early or Spread Out?
No, it's both. It's Spread Early and Spread Out. That's what we call the program. That's what the students know it as. The parents don't know that because we simply told them, we're going to find out if your kid has a disease that eventually will make its way to his brain. I think that's all or whether or not she's, you're going to be a grandparent. We try to put it in a way...
You're going to be a grandparent.
We try to put it in a way that is fun for them and that they understand. And I don't know whether or not you know this, Bill, but I had a daughter in the public school system in Los Angeles, California, and Spread Out had started. And my daughter came home and she said, Dad, today it was Spread Out and Spread Early. And I said, and what did you learn about yourself? And she said that I'm infected with an STD. And I said, and we had a wonderful conversation. Isn't that interesting, you know?
And you found out about your daughter had an STD when she came home and said that she had been tested.
Yes. And what are you trying to tell me that I'm supposed to wait for a phone call from the school? Hey, is it okay if we test your daughter to find out if she'll go mad by the age of 30? No, I don't think so.
Well, I don't think, Ron, that they're going to put it that way, are they?
Well,
what school is going to call a parent up and say, is it okay if we find out whether your daughter's going to go mad by the age of 30? What school is going to, they're going to call up and say, we'd like your consent and your permission to test our daughter or to test your daughter.
Well, my wife worked at the admissions office, so it was our daughter. You see, if she would have called, but she didn't call me.
So now you're telling me your wife worked at the school?
Yes, she did.
And she didn't tell you that your own daughter was going to be tested?
No, she did not, because they don't have to tell me anything. They told me at the beginning of the year that the kids had spread, whether they liked it or not. Well, not whether they liked it or not, whether we liked it or not, and I was good with that, and that they didn't have to tell us.
Even though your wife was in the admissions office and knew this stuff was happening?
Well, I don't know. She worked at admissions. I don't know how much those people are told, but she did know, and she kept it from me because there was no parental notification.
But she was notified.
No, she wasn't. She simply looked over the shoulder of someone who was typing a memo, and she went, oh, look at that. They're going to test the kids. And then the kids come home and tell their parents.
All right, but in no place is this parental consent being given. All it is the kids were tested.
No. It was spread out day.
It was spread out day. I don't understand that.
That's kind of, the kids are, that's what they call it.
I know, but I'm asking Dr. Tonner.
Well, Bud Dykman, or Dickman is right. That's what they call it. And that's so the kids are comfortable with it, you know.
You know, it's really funny. You know, you're talking to me whether the kids are comfortable with it. If they simply said, we'll test you to see whether you have an STD, we'll test you to see whether you're pregnant or not, I'm sure that they would get just as many kids coming in and wanting to see or wanting to avail themselves of the test. I don't think they had to. Do they really have to say, hey, it's spread out day, come on in and get tested?
Well, it's better to be on the safe side, I think, Phil, and especially when you're a parent who doesn't know whether your child is going to learn something about themselves today. In this case, yes, whether you're going to be a grandfather. That's the way I look at it. Am I going to be a grandfather? I hope not. I don't want to be a grandfather. It was difficult enough being a father. And if my daughter were to come home and tell me, guess what, you're now going to be a grandfather, you hated being a father, well, you're going to doubly hate being a grandfather because I'm going to have to live here with the kid. And you try to suppress feelings that might lead you, not to hurt your daughter, but might lead you to do damage to your kitchen or your office or wherever you are, put your fist through something, and you're hoping it's not going to be your daughter. It certainly would be your daughter, but you put your fist through someone. And
wait, you're telling me a whole bunch of personal stuff here, man, you know?
About what?
You're telling me all about how if your daughter came home and said, guess what, you're going to be a grandfather, so if you didn't like being a father, you're going to doubly hate being a grandfather, that means she's pregnant.
Yes, but that's what spread out teaches. They tell you, break it to them soft.
Well, Ron, I don't, as a parent, I would be shocked.
Well, because you don't, spread out doesn't mean anything to you.
Spread out means plenty to me, especially since you explained it the way you did. But I'm not going to be happy if my daughter comes home and tells me that she was tested for pregnancy, and, oh, yeah, if you hated being a father, you're going to doubly hate being a grandfather. So I'm told I'm a grandfather.
Would you rather her say, guess what? I got one in the confection of it. And
she's not going to say that, man.
Calm down, Phil.
Well, she's not going to say that. She's going to say, I'm pregnant. And I'm going to say, how do you know? And she's going to say, I got tested at the school. And I'm going to say, you got tested at the school, and I wasn't told. And she's going to say, no. And
But in my case, my wife already knew.
Your wife knew because she worked in the admissions office and peeked over the shoulder of somebody that was typing up a memo. That's how your wife knew.
Hey, well, lucky shot. You know, good for me.
But the point is, I didn't know anything about it. And then if my daughter or my son comes home and says, I have a blood-borne disease that's going to my brain and could cause early dementia because I'm finding out about myself at school, that's not a good way of breaking it. I'm telling you, you're going to have problems with this as parents want to be informed, responsible parents, all right?
Well, what about the fact that if she told me that she was pregnant or that I was going to be a grandfather and I want to destroy a kitchen that I've just newly remodeled? Do you think that's a safe thing?
That you're making a point there.
Listen, you just went that because you're nervous, Phil.
No, I'm not nervous. I'm trying to collect my thoughts here.
No, you're nervous because the idea that I may destroy a kitchen I newly remodeled indicates that I might have a violent reaction to my daughter telling me that I'm going to be a grandfather. Do you want a child to be exposed to that? I don't know whether you want to be a child to be exposed to that. I don't want to destroy a kitchen that I had remodeled, yes, by Lowe's, but nonetheless, they did a good job for a change. And
all right, let's not knock Lowe's. They may be one of my sponsors.
I'm sorry?
They might be. The point isn't your kitchen, all right?
I understand that.
The point is, you said that you might have a violent reaction, and in having that violent reaction, you might destroy half of your kitchen that's newly remodeled.
Yeah, I would never hurt my daughter, but it would scare her to see me destroying what Home Depot had worked very hard to put in. That's my only point.
All right, if you're talking about a violent reaction, I understand that, and I know that there are some kids that have to face that by some parents that ought to be in a jail cell, and that has to be worked out. But I don't think coming home to your parents and saying, somebody gave me a pregnancy test.
No. We had spread out.
All right, if we had spread out today and you're going to be a grandfather, I don't know that that's the way to talk about it. But, Ron, I wish you well and keep us informed, will you?
Well, this is all I know.
I mean, keep us informed to new developments.
There aren't going to be new developments. Spread out is established, and spread out is spreading out. You want to know what new schools? I don't know.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over here to Anthony in Houston, Texas. Anthony, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's on your mind?
What's going on, man? I just want to say one thing. This guy's he's not a very good spokesperson to promote this thing, you know, first off. And I don't know. Yeah, it's good to have, you know, understand what's going on with the kids and try to get them to be safe.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
But it's still parents' consent rules over everything, you know. Like, that's your child. That's your child. You made it. So, I mean, first off, that's ridiculous. And that guy has no brains at all, man.
Well, no, I know. I'm saying the parents are being informed, sir. The parents are being informed through the spread-out program.
No, but yeah. Are they giving their... Go ahead, Anthony. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
It doesn't need to be informed when they come home. They need to be informed and, you know, parents' consent before it happens. Like, I would want to know if my kid's being tested before you even do it.
Right. But see, my daughter came home and she told me I'm going to be a grandfather, and I wanted to take out an entire kitchen that I spent a lot of money on. That's not a good reaction. I beg your pardon?
You need anger management, first off. That's the case.
Well, what if there are a lot of parents that need anger management? What if there's a parent that wants to, you know, is that music I hear?
Yeah, we got to take a break.
Well, that isn't fair.
Anthony, thank you very much for your call. Yeah, it's plenty fair. Thank you, Anthony, for your call. I appreciate it. Yeah. 877-876-PHIL. That isn't fair. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And after the show tonight, we'll have an uncensored podcast on our video feed. We always do uncensored pre-shows, and we do uncensored post-shows when we are of a mind, you know, and tonight we'll have one. So it's kind of an extra special night tonight. We did one before the show, doing one before the show. If you thought our Glenn Beck commentary was interesting during the show, you should have heard the... Well, never mind.
Yeah, you use dirty words and everything. Yeah, you sound like a retard. I'm trying to get the information out.
Yeah, well, spit it out, okay, Jack? Because, you know, I'm burning daylight here, all right? 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Sharon, listening to us in Boston tonight. Sharon, what's on your mind this evening?
Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for asking.
I actually was listening to your show last night, and mm-hmm. I heard an adopted Indian man speak on the
issue
that was going on with the Cambridge police officer and Professor Gates. And mm-hmm. he basically was trying to say that whatever the issues black people have, it's all in their mind, and they're kind of like creating this cycle of this delusional victimization. And that really, like, got to the core of me because, honestly, I'm only 32. I haven't had great experience with a lot of things that, you know, the elders had to go through back in the 50s and 60s, but it's still prevalent. I mean, I could remember just as recently as being 2021 going down the streets of New York and being frisked by police officers after coming out of work. I mean, it happens. So,
of course it does.
For him to say that was just completely ignorant. I'm so
well. Can I?
That he was adopted.
Yeah, he was calling from. Yeah, I got to tell you, Sharon. He was calling from Minneapolis, and at the risk of upsetting my listeners in Minneapolis, I lived in Minneapolis, St. Paul for a while. I was on a radio there, and I have to tell you, I encountered. They're not going to like me for this. I encountered some jaw-dropping ignorance when it came to race in Minnesota. I had a sports. Yeah, I had a sportscaster say to me on a station I worked at that the reason why the Minnesota Gophers didn't play good football is they needed to sign more black students. And he thought he was being very open-minded and being very egalitarian. And I said, well, what does black have to do with better football? What about better football players? And he thought I was being unfair to him.
Wow.
You know, But this is, and this was a guy that had the ear of thousands of people in the city. That guy that I talked to last night, I doubt if that guy was, he was probably some white dude, man, sitting and having himself a Leinenkugel. Anyway, thank you, Sharon, for your call. We'll be back with more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Life Imitates Phil, coming up next.
Phil Hendry.